Hello everyone, my name is Elena Zeming Zhang. Welcome to my podcast, Healthy Plate, Brilliant Mind. Hello everyone, welcome back to my podcast. Today in this episode, I will be talking about the five food groups. Now, this is very basic foundational nutrition knowledge that a lot of you out there may have known or are familiar with already, but that's okay. The reason I wanted to do this episode is because there are still many people out there who are not too sure or not too familiar with the five core food groups. Now, I do not discriminate, I do not judge. I think it's very important for everyone to understand the basic principles of nutrition before I help people improve their health via nutrition or lifestyle changes. Basically, all foods are divided or categorized into five food groups. Now, some of these groups, you'll find that some foods fall into more than one group, and that's okay. But the first thing is we should understand the importance of the five food groups, what they are, some example foods, and roughly how much of each foods we should be having, how much of each food groups we should be having every day. Now, the reason why I think nutrition and food is incredibly important is because food is the only way we can get nutrition in our body. It's the only way that we can nourish our body and can sustain our growth and development and basically keep us alive and function well. Therefore, food is important, and it is important for us to get the best nutrients in the correct quantities that is appropriate for each one of us through food. Therefore, the knowledge on the five food groups, it's incredibly important for us to understand. Now, most of the dietary guidelines out there, for example, the dietary guidelines in South Africa, Australia, America, Britain, they're all basically based on the five food groups, because the five food groups, they're quite easy to understand and they form a very good principle for nutrition. The five food groups are namely vegetables, fruit, grains and cereals, or some people call it carbs, meat and alternatives, or some people call them protein, and the last group is dairy and alternatives. Now, please don't be overwhelmed. I will go through all of them with you. The first important food group is vegetables, and that is the food group that I find my clients to be mostly lacking. Well, that's the food group that we seem to overlook the most, because veggies are, you know, depends on how we prepare them. They can be a bit bland, or people who have sensory processing struggles might not be able to find a lot of vegetables they like. But vegetables are incredibly important. Now, why are they so important? To me, vegetables and fruits are like the gift Earth has given us to nourish ourselves. Now, vegetables contain a lot of different nutrients, for example, vitamin B's, vitamin C's, and a lot of minerals like iron and potassium and so much more. Vegetables also have a great amount of antioxidants, meaning that it can fight aging, it can prevent cancer, which is just amazing. Now, vegetables also contain dietary fiber. Fiber is something that all of us need to keep our intestines healthy. Fiber basically forms the bulk of our stool, or basically helps us to poo better. If we don't eat enough fiber, then we might get pretty constipated. Another good thing about fiber is that it can help. Many research have shown that fiber can help control and keep our cholesterol at a good level, and keep our blood sugar at a good level, and our blood pressure at a good level. And fiber can help keep us fuller for longer. Now, there are so many different types of vegetables. Usually, the vegetables that I refer to are things like broccoli, zucchini, carrots, or green leafy vegetables, tomatoes, capsicum, or green pepper, red pepper, yellow pepper, and other a huge variety of vegetables. So a vegetable can be the form of leaves, if you would like to say that, or roots, for example, carrots or turnips or radishes. It can be also the form of a gourd, like a winter gourd, pumpkin, things like that. It can also be a fruit of a plant, for example, tomatoes or eggplant. Now, the difference between vegetables and fruit, I generally explain it as vegetables would be something that you would eat as a savory dish, whereas fruit would be something that's sweet, you know. Alrighty, now let's move on to fruit. Now we are on the topic of fruit. Why is fruit so important? I feel like a lot of us do underappreciate fruit. Fruit are just amazing. It tastes so delicious, it's so sweet, and it's just an amazing dessert to have after a meal. It refreshes your palate. It just personally makes me feel so content. Fruit is also an amazing snack. It has a lot of fluid content, so we don't have to have a lot of it to feel quite happy and content with our snack. Whereas if we eat something like a bag of chips, because it's so light, it's basically doesn't contain much weight or mass, it doesn't really keep us full or satisfied until we end up eating too much of it. Now, why is fruit so good for us? Fruit, similar to vegetables, it has a lot of dietary fiber. Think of something like a mango, the hairy, stringy parts of the mango, that's dietary fiber. Now, fruit contains a lot of fiber. It also contains a lot of nutrients, such as vitamin C, vitamin A, and then it also contains minerals as well. And it also contains a lot of good antioxidants. There are so many different types of fruit out there that literally I feel that if we ought to eat a new type of fruit every day, we will probably have to take years to be able to try all of the fruit. For example, apples alone, there are dozens and dozens of types of apples, and each of them contain different nutrients and taste different. It's just absolutely amazing and so natural. Now, let us move on to grains and cereals. So the food group grains and cereals are basically, I refer them as carbohydrates. So basically, grains and cereals are very important to provide our body with energy. Well, some people are afraid of carbs because they think, okay, carbs are just empty calories. It doesn't give us anything else. It makes us fat. It's not entirely correct. Now, carbs, it breaks down into sugar, into forms of sugar, once it's digested in our body. And our brain actually requires a massive amount of glucose. Our brain requires massive amount of sugar to be able to function and process properly. Our brain is constantly working. Especially when we are under pressure and stressed, our brain even requires more energy. And for someone who is physically active, then definitely carbohydrate is something that is very important. Now, foods that contain carbohydrate include things like bread that's made of different types of flours, mostly wheat flour, or bread roll, pasta, pizza base, cookies, biscuits, noodles, or things like rice, or semolina, quinoa, or buckwheat, and corn as well. There are vegetables that's also considered carbohydrate rich. So they belong in both vegetable and carbohydrate group. So these vegetables are like potatoes, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, things like that. So foods that are processed foods that are made of these carbohydrates, examples of carbohydrates that I just mentioned, they are also considered carbohydrate foods. For example, potato chips, that's a carb because it's made of potato. Breakfast cereals, they're generally very high in carbohydrates because they're made of either corn, like corn flakes, or muesli, that's made of oats. So carbohydrate-rich foods, there are a lot of them. Now, the reason why I say that not all carbohydrate foods are going to make you fat or just empty calories, because it's all about how and what we choose to eat. For example, if we choose to eat shortbread, or if we choose to eat white bread, or if we choose to eat potato chips, or lollies or candies, sure, these foods have a lot of carbohydrates and doesn't have much other nutrients. Whereas if we choose things like pumpkin or quinoa or beans, these foods have great amount of carbohydrates as well, but it also contains a good amount of fiber, which is important for us. And it also has much higher micronutrient, meaning vitamin and mineral content, which just makes them much more worth it to eat, in my opinion. Now, let's move on to meat and alternatives. I also call this food group protein. All right, so most of us have heard about protein. It is very much a trendy buzzword right now. Everything that's on TV, that's on TikTok, that's on Instagram, Facebook, everyone likes to say high protein dish, high protein snack, and the protein supplements are just so popular right now. So what's so magical about protein? Well, protein are made up of little building blocks called amino acids. So if you visualize like a Lego house, a house made of Lego, so this house would be protein. And the individual Lego blocks would be amino acids. And different amino acids makes up different parts of the house. So there are many different types of amino acids out there, and we need the full range to be able to build a sturdy house, which is protein. Now, why is protein so important, and why is amino acids so important? So firstly, protein definitely help us to maintain and build our muscles. We have muscles, we have biceps, we have triceps, we have our quads, the usual muscles, and we use them every day. We need to maintain them. Things like our eye movements, our stomach, our heart, and our lungs, they contain smooth muscles, which are also muscles as well. So we also need protein to keep our internal organs function properly. Amino acids are really important for our cells to be able to regenerate and function, which It's incredibly important because we are made of many, many, many gazillions of cells. So we need to make sure that they have everything they need to keep us whole, to keep us healthy. Now, where do we get all these lovely protein? Sure, we can get them from protein powder or protein-rich bars, but I always prefer to get our nutrients from food first, because natural food is the best. There are two types of protein. You get animal-based protein and you get plant-based protein. Now, animal-based protein are basically things like meat, chicken, so basically meat of animals, or animal products like yogurt, eggs. So these animal source protein is really high quality protein, meaning that each portion or each serve, it gives you a really decent amount of protein to keep your body going. However, some of them may have too much saturated fats that may not be so healthy. So that's where plant-based protein comes in. Plant-based protein are basically from plants, plant vegetarian sources. So that would be something like quinoa or tofu, soybeans, baked beans, lentils, or dal, things like that. So vegetarian sources. Or if you are a milk drinker, milk and cheese has protein as well. And usually vegetarian source of protein doesn't have much saturated fats, making them much less, they have much less calories and much less fat, which for some people it may be more suitable. However, not all plant-based proteins have the full range of amino acids. So if we visualize a Lego house again, a plant-based protein, for example, something like lentils, green lentils, red lentils, they might not have the full range of Lego blocks to be able to build a full, sturdy house, which is the protein. What this means is that if you are vegetarian, then you need to eat a wide variety of vegetarian-based protein foods. And if you're not a vegetarian, this means that you do need to eat some animal-based protein to get all of your amino acids, which means get all of your Lego building blocks to be able to build sturdy protein. Alright, let's move on to our last food group, which is dairy and alternatives. Now, a lot of people ask me, what's the difference between dairy and plant-based milk or plant-based dairy alternatives? Well, dairy is basically any products that's made from cow's milk, very specifically cows. So that include cow's milk, cow's cheese, and yogurt made from cow's milk. Sometimes frozen yogurt that has a large amount of cow's milk yogurt also count as a dairy. Now they are really amazing because they are very high in calcium, so which makes them an excellent source of calcium. Plant-based dairy alternatives are things like almond milk, oat milk, rice milk, soy milk, coconut milk, and the products like coconut yogurt, soy yogurt, vegan cheese, things like that. So all of the products that kind of resembles dairy products but are made from vegetarian or plant-based sources. Now, we can go into finicky comparison between dairy and dairy alternatives, but to me, I respect the choice of my clients. If you wish to become vegetarian or vegan, that's completely okay, but make sure to absolutely enjoy your oat milk, your almond milk, to be able to get enough calcium. Because we need calcium for strong bones and teeth. Now, you might have a lot of questions for me. How much of each group should I eat? How often should I eat foods from each food group? How do I know what a good portion size is? Well, these are the questions I get the most from my clients, and I am very happy to share with you today my recommendations on these questions. Firstly, how often? Now, my answer would be every single day have foods from these five food groups, which means every single day have some vegetables, have some fruits, have carbohydrate-rich foods, have protein foods, and have some dairy or alternatives. In terms of serving size, it is different for everyone. There is standard serving sizes out there that's applicable to the whole adult population, for example, the adult population of Australia. But from a nutrition point of view, because we are all different, we have different nutrition requirements, therefore we eat different serving sizes, we eat different numbers of serves each day. So the serving size suggestions that I'm going to give now is much more generalized. So please take it with a grain of salt. It might not apply to you 100%, but feel free to speak to a dietitian if you do want very specific recommendations on serves or food groups. Now let's start with the easy one. Let's start with fruit. Now, I always use the hand as the estimation for serving sizes or portion sizes. The reason why I use my hand is because, well, it's attached to us all the time and it doesn't require any batteries like a food scale. I don't tend to advocate for use of food scales because I think it's not very practical and I don't want everyone to be weighing their foods unnecessarily. Whereas hands, we have them all the time, and it's very easy and useful to estimate portion or serving sizes. If you hold your hand out in front of you and clench one hand into a fist. Now this fist is roughly the size of one cup, which, you know, everyone's fist might vary a bit differently in size, but roughly this should represent a cup of the biggest measuring cup, which is 250 ml. Now this fist size, this one fist, represents one serve of fruit. So if we can visualize, for example, one standard sized apple or one standard sized pear, or maybe 4, 5, 6 strawberries depending on the size of strawberries. So now, each of us need to have 1 to 2 serves of fruits every day. So if you hold out both of your fists, this is exactly how much fruits you should be having every single day. If we move on to dairy and alternatives, this becomes, well, it's a little bit more interesting. If we choose to drink something like milk or plant-based milk, then one serve is again the size of your fist, one fist. If we decide to eat something like cheese, then it's roughly the size of your thumb, of your entire thumb. Some people use the index finger. It's very similar. So one serve is either one cup of milk or one thumb-sized cheese. When it comes to yogurt, it's something around 150 grams to 200 grams of yogurt, which is also, again, roughly just under a cup. Now, how much of dairy do we need every day? We need between 2 to 3 serves, which means we can have, in a day, we can have 1 cup of milk, we can have just under a cup of yogurt, and then we can have a thumb-sized amount of cheese, for example, on our toasties. And there you go, you can get your dairy for the day. Let's move on to vegetables. Whenever I mention the serving sizes of vegetables, everyone gets a little bit surprised because the recommended serving size for vegetables it's not small, it's pretty decent. The reason being, vegetables, they don't take up a lot of space, right? If you visualize a salad, a huge bowl of salad, it contains a lot of water and it takes up a lot of space. But yeah, we do need a lot of them in a day to be able to get all the nutrients that we need. So what is one serve of vegetable? Now if you hold out your fist again, one fist equals to one serve of cooked veggie. So one fist is one serve of cooked vegetables. If you hold out two fists and sort of put them together, two fists, that is one serve of salad, meaning raw vegetables. So every single day we need between 4 to 5 serves of vegetables. That sounds like a whole lot. I know whenever I mention this, everyone goes like, what? That's too much. That's impossible. Well, let me give you an example. Let's say we aim for 5 serves of vegetables per day. How do we get them in our diet? For example, in the morning with our breakfast, we can have one serve of veg, which is one fist size amount of pan-fried mushrooms. We can have that with our breakfast, with our other breakfast foods. For lunch, we can have salad, which roughly a standard salad would be, I would say, about three fist size amount of veggies. Yep, so there you go, you get your 3 serves of vegetables for lunch in the form of a salad. So that's 4 serves done already for the day. Now as a bonus, you can have a fist size amount of cooked veggies for dinner. And there you go, you have achieved your 5 serves of vegetables for the whole day. Easy peasy. Now, in terms of carbohydrates, also known as grains and cereals, it does become a little tricky, but let me just try to simplify it as much as I can. If you again hold out your fist is incredibly useful, I know. If you again hold out your fist, this is one serve of carbs. If we can visualize this, that would be something like one fist size of cooked rice, or one fist size of cooked quinoa, or one fist sized lentils, or one fist size amount of noodles or pasta. This is one serve. If we are thinking of bread or bread rolls or wraps or naan bread, if you open your hand flat, that is the size of one serve. So roughly about one slice of standard size bread, or half a chapati, half a naan bread, or quite half a Turkish bread, that sort of thing. If we are eating something like a porridge or breakfast cereals, it is also very useful to use your fist to estimate the size. Now, every day we need minimum 4 serves of carbs. Some people need more, some people need less, but 4 is usually the standard. Now, for the last food group, which is protein, I have left it last because a lot of people feel like they may be eating too much protein, which, you know, everyone's requirement is different. But the standard size for one serve of protein is roughly the size of your opened palm. So if you open your hand and look at your palm, without the fingers and the wrist, that is one serve of protein. Basically one serve of cooked, for example, cooked meat like a steak or chicken breast or fish. So that is one serve. If you are eating something like a chicken stir fry or kebabs or pork, sweet and sour pork, you might have to just eyeball it a little bit because it's not just one piece of meat, but roughly the size of your palm. When it comes to plant-based protein like beans and lentils, it's roughly the size of your fist again, so very similar to carbs. So there you go, there's another interchangeable serving size between carbs and protein. And every single day, we need between 1 to 3 serves of protein. I usually lean towards 2 to 3, just to make sure that we get enough protein and we feel full enough throughout the day. All right, that's it for today. Today we have discussed the 5 food groups. I have introduced what they are and why they are important for us. I have also introduced the handy hand portion sized estimation, meaning using hands to estimate portion sizes instead of trying to figure out what 100 grams of lettuce looks like. Now today I have also touched on the recommended amount or recommended serving sizes for each food group for us daily. So everything I spoke about today, it's very generalized, meaning these recommendations may not be specific to you, but it could be beneficial. It is actually very beneficial information for you to know. Again, if you want very specific nutrition information or recommendation, it is always good to find a dietitian to help you out with personalized recommendations. Thank you very much for joining in today, and I hope you found today's episode useful and helpful. If you have any questions, please feel free to have a look at the link in my show notes, or you can reach out to me directly. My information is all in the show notes. Thank you again, and I look forward to connecting with you and having you in my audience again in the future. Bye-bye. This podcast will be available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all other platforms. Make sure to click the subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes. If you have any suggestions on future episode topics or have any questions, you can find my email address in the show notes. I am always happy to hear from our listeners. Stay tuned. Bye-bye. Disclaimer: the information shared in this podcast is not intended to be individual nutrition or medical advice. Please reach out to a health professional if you have questions for your specific health condition.